Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Woo! Amen. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat? Good morning. All right. Hey, if you're a guest, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. I love you guys. Oh, man, that was, I didn't know my soul needed that until we started. I'm curious, though, because that was a killer set, singing about God's goodness and who he is and what he's done. It can be overwhelming. And so it's going to feel weird with the question I'm about to ask, but it really does set us up for where we want to go today. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. And if it is you, I want you to know, man, I get it. I'm curious if there's anybody in the room today or watching online that would consider himself a Christ follower, maybe doesn't consider himself a Christian. And you hear us sing these songs and you see everybody so excited and you see everybody jumping and praising. And you kind of look and wonder. And you're like, man, do they know something about God I don't? Because we're all singing and praising about all that God's done. And I know there's a chance, some of you, maybe many of you that today, like you're sitting here and you're wondering where God is. You ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. It'd be embarrassing. That's too much vulnerability for a Sunday morning. You don't have to tell, but I'll tell you about a time I wondered where God was. So you'll know it's okay to wonder. I mean, I've been a Christian basically my whole life. Like, I don't really remember. We were in church forever, and so I've always known who Jesus was and had a relationship with him. And so I've had my fair share of moments where I'm like, okay, God, where are you in this? I've had seasons where I wondered where God was. Not just days. Days would have been nice. For me, the season I can talk about the most recent one, really began for me and my family summer, fall of 2019. We've talked about this. Danielle was experiencing health issues. She had thyroid issues. By that fall, it was so bad. There were like a couple weeks where she just couldn't get out of bed. And I'm not that good of a parent. So it was, just navigating three youngins and trying to teach. So 2019, that was draining. That was rough. And then we turned to 2020. And I'm not sure if you guys recall what happened in 2020. But the world turned upside down with this thing called COVID. And I had the greatest job in the history of the world during COVID because I led a mass gathering. And some people I wasn't being safe enough, and some people I was being too safe, so everybody got mad, so that was a fun year. And she didn't feel any better the whole year, by the way. Turned to 21. We actually started to get some answers. She starts to, a little better, not a lot, but a little better. Still dealing with the COVID thing. May of 21, my mom calls me. My dad's on the floor and can't get up. Very long story short, his skin cancer that had been in remission had come back and had metastasized to his brain. I mean, he had massive brain tumors. So he spent most of June and July of 2021, in addition to navigating her sickness and, you know, trying to lead this church, helping my dad get up to Duke, to have brain surgery, to remove the tumors, and then all these doctors telling us what to do to shrink the tumors. And it all came to a head, I know the day, August 22nd, 2021. It was a Sunday morning. Danielle had a new illness this week. She discovered she had been having pain in her jaw. Long story short, she had an abscessed tooth that had gone way farther than it should have gone. And she'd had to have two surgeries to have the abscess fully fixed. The last surgery was on a Friday morning, right before this Sunday. And so she was pretty down that whole weekend, couldn't get out of bed, kind of resting. That Sunday morning, she gets up and she's like, okay, I'm gonna power through, I wanna come to church. So I'm getting ready. And she walks into our bathroom and she goes, Jacob has a fever. And he just told me two kids from his school went home with COVID yesterday. Yeah, I know. Do y'all remember that? Remember when we used to get, like, did that make your heart kind of sink? You're like, move on. Don't talk about it anymore. I understand. So that changed everything. She had to stay home with him. We weren't sure. And so I had kind of developed the protocol for this situation. And so I wore a mask. And I basically only was going to preach and go backstage. I wasn't going to come out here. I wasn't going to go in the lobby. And I wasn't going to speak forcefully so the people in the front row. I wasn't going to, you know, I kind of stayed back that day. And I sort of preached like this, you know, try to be passionate. I didn't want to blow my germs out. So I'm doing that. Preach first hour. Go back into the offices between services. And there's a group of people in the office, a bunch of my team members. And they're talking, and I walk in the room, and they stop talking and stare at me. I'm not sure that's ever happened to you. It's not good. And so I look at them, I'm like, what's going on? And they said, well, we were going to tell you later, but a paramedic who was friends with somebody at our church called to let them know that my father had been found unconscious at his house and was being rushed to the emergency room. And I had another service to preach. It was 10:45. And this is silly, but then I came out and tried to preach it, and my mic kept going out. That was the straw. Guys, I lost it that afternoon. I lost it. I was so angry. I was mad at God. I felt like he had let me down. This was not the deal I made, God. I moved to the town you told me to move to. I'm doing my best to pastor the church you told me to pastor. Can I get a little help? Did you forget it's Sunday morning? Did you forget I have a job you made me do? I had to go do it. And I've got to be on that stage and I've got to preach twice. And you can't give me one day where my wife's not sick and my son's not sick and now my dad's not going back to the hospital. Bro, where in the world are you? Because I don't feel it. I don't see it. Where are you, man? I tell you that story because something tells me I'm not alone in having ever felt that way. In fact, something tells me there might be some people in this room right now who feel the exact same way. And it's not just been days, it's not been weeks, it's been months, maybe years. And we sing these songs and we celebrate and you look around and you're like, where is this God? These people, where is he? Because I don't feel like he's at work on my behalf. If you feel that way today, man, did you pick the perfect Sunday to be here? Because you're not alone. I have experienced the exact same thing, but that shouldn't matter. Who cares what I think? Jesus' closest friends on earth felt exactly the way you feel. And I bring it all up because there's an episode of an event that's recorded for us in the second biography of Jesus' life. It's called the Book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, the Good News according to Mark. Mark most likely got his good news from a guy named Simon Peter. Mark was really young when Jesus was on the earth. We do think he was around Jesus and the disciples. We think he was really close with Peter. Maybe he was related to Peter. But he writes this biography for us where he tells us all these stories about things Jesus did. And near the beginning of his biography, in Mark chapter 4, he tells us a story of a real event that happened with his disciples. And his disciples found themselves in the exact spot I found myself on August 21st, 2021, many of us have found ourselves before, and some of us find ourselves today. Where is God? So if you feel that way, I want to take you to the story. Because the disciples felt that way. And Jesus answers their question. And then he leads Mark to write it down. So thousands of years later on the other side of the planet, we can read the story. And we can find the answers to that question of where is God in my struggle? Where is God in my pain? Where is God in this moment? Because I got good news. He's there. And he's doing more than we could ask or imagine. But you don't believe that yet. So let me take you to the story. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. That's where we'll be. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. We're told that as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." They had been working all day. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He's performed miracles. And the disciples are just riding high, man. They have hitched their sails to this man, this Messiah, this King of Kings. They're not quite understanding that he's God yet, but they just think he's this powerful prophet. And they're so excited. And so when he says, "Let's cross the other side of the lake," they're like, "Let's go." And so we're told that they took Jesus in the boat, started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. See, a lot of Jesus' disciples were fishermen by trade. They were expert boatsmen. They were expert sailors, and they were taking Jesus where he wanted to go. And so when Jesus says, "Hey, let's get in the boat, let's go," they think nothing of it until something happens. But soon, a fierce storm came up out of nowhere. Fierce storm. Now, see, they're on the Sea of Galilee. Let me give you a little geography lesson. The reason the storm came up out of nowhere is the Sea of Galilee sits in a basin. It's surrounded by mountains. And so there could be weather on the other side of the mountain, and you don't know about it until it's right upon you, which is why expert fishermen didn't sail at night. Because if a storm comes at night, it's five times as scary. So they would have never done this except Jesus had just said, "Let's cross." So I'm sure in their brains they thought, "Well, that's not a good idea. We don't do that, but he does miracles, we don't. If he says we should cross, I guess we should cross." And so they're doing their best to obey in this moment. They're trying to believe him. But then exactly what they were afraid of happens, and this fierce storm comes up out of nowhere. I don't know about you, but I tell you, for me, when things pop up out of nowhere, those are the things that spin me the most. Sometimes we know things are coming, we're prepared, and then all of a sudden, something pops up. You're like, "What? Not this too." That's exactly how our boys feel at this moment. This fierce storm pops up, and they start to get afraid. And then their fears become real. Because here's what we're told. We're told that high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Their greatest fear on the water was happening. There was water in the boat. How many of you know, even if you're not a boater, water's not supposed to be in the boat. And they didn't have fancy pumps. So they're bailing it out as fast as they can. They are panicked. They are fighting for their life. Again, you relating to the story yet? How many of you woke up this morning? Don't raise your hand. And it was a journey just to get out of bed and then to get dressed and to drive here. It was work. You were doing everything you could. You were fighting for it. Because nothing in your life points to go to church and sing about Jesus. But you wanted to. Maybe it's because you have faith. You consider yourself a Christian. Maybe it's because you don't consider yourself a Christian. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but something in you was like, "Hey, I just want to go today." Because I've heard people say you can find hope at church. So maybe that's why you're here. You're just looking for some hope. Understand that the men who changed the world. Literally, these are the men who eventually Jesus, when he dies and comes back to life, he says, it's in your hands, and he goes back to heaven. And these men in the boat, take the message that you and I still celebrate and sing about and talk about today. These men, the men in the boat, afraid of the storm, with the waves and the water crashing in. Where are the waves crashing in on you? Just think about it for a minute. Where do you feel like the water is rising? What causes panic in you? For them, it was obviously a storm. And then they did what we always teach people to do. Look for Jesus in the storm, is what we tell people. Look for Jesus. Some of you know the story. Well, these men panicked, water rushing in. They look for Jesus, and here's what they found. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. He got them in this mess. He told them to cross the Sea of Galilee at night, which you don't do. There's a storm coming. There's water everywhere. And he is asleep at the back of the boat. Guys, this is one of the reasons I know the Bible is real. Because you don't make that story up. He's asleep. And the disciples respond in such a human way. Such a real way. I relate to it so much. They woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" It doesn't tell us who said it, but I've read the Gospels. I'm pretty sure it was Simon Peter. This sounds like a thing Simon Peter would have said. You know what else? You know why I like Simon Peter? It's because he says the things I would have said. I'm not sure I've ever related to a verse in the Bible more than this verse. And if that's you today, good. It's exactly where God wants you. Don't you even care? Because if you cared, you'd fix it. If you cared, you'd stop it. If you cared, you'd solve it. That's what we think. That's how we're wired. And so they see their Savior asleep, and they fear the worst. He doesn't care. He's uncaring. Or, uh-oh, he can't fix this. He's incompetent. Those are the fears they had. Those are the fears I have. Those are the fears you have. And we come to this moment in the story, this human moment where we've all leaned in because we've all been there. We all know what this feels like. We all know what it feels like to look up at Jesus or God, or even if you don't believe in God, the universe or whatever it is, we've all done it and looked up and be like, what is going on? Where are you? Do you even care? This is what they took to Jesus. And I love what Mark tells us next. It says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. I've thought about this before. In our brains, we think Jesus stood up. We think music swelled. And in a deep, barreling voice, he was like, "Silence!" But have you ever been woken up from a deep sleep in the middle of the night? Looking at you, parents. Because clearly Jesus was deeply asleep. It wasn't a light sleep or he would have woken up. He was in a deep sleep. You know when it's 2 a.m. and your kids wake you up from that deep sleep? You're not eloquent in that moment. You're not powerful in that moment. You're trying to wake up and solve it at the same time. And in my brain, that's Jesus wakes up, he hears him screaming, he looks around, he's wiping stuff from his eyes, and I think he literally went, silence, be still. And then he asked them this question. He said, why? Why are you afraid? And then it dawns on him, oh, do you still have no faith? He, because he's brilliant, dives straight past all the questions, all the confusion, and attacks the heart of the issue. The heart of my struggle and your struggle every time things don't work out like we thought they would. Every time situations and circumstances feel overwhelming to us, whether we prepared for them or not. See, they experienced a real, actual, practical storm. We live in Myrtle Beach, so we're familiar with real practical storms. But the real storm I'm talking about today is on the inside. It's emotional. It's what I was going through. It's what many of us go through. It's just like, how long is this going to last? Why? Jesus, why won't you do something? Don't you care? And they go to him and they wake him up and he solves it. And then he asks him, he says, why? Why are you afraid? Why do you have fear? What are you afraid of? And then he answers his own question with a question. He says, oh, do you still have no faith? In other words, you still don't really understand what's going on here. You don't understand who I am. And he wasn't angry. He wasn't upset. He didn't get frustrated with them for their questions. He didn't get frustrated that they woke him up from a sleep. He was glad they did. He was calm about it, and he solves their problem. And through solving their problem, he begins to help us know how we can navigate ours in these moments. And it starts with understanding what actually happened to them and what actually happens to us. And it's this. It's that storms can cause us to doubt God. When the world doesn't work like we think it should work, when things happen that feel beyond our control, when things happen that feel overwhelming, when God doesn't perform like we think he should, we have questions. We have doubts. And typically, the bigger the storms, the bigger the questions. And it really comes down to two things that we doubt. We doubt his love, and we doubt his power. Teacher, we're drowning. Don't you care? They were doubting his love. Before they woke him up, do you think he can fix this? Do you think he knows where he's taking us? They doubt his power. That's what happens to me. It's what happens to all of us. We believe God is either uncaring or incompetent. I guess he doesn't love me like he said. Or I guess this is above his pay grade. I know it's what happens to me. It happened back in 2021. I looked at my circumstances. He wasn't performing like I thought he should. And so I doubted. I doubted his love for me. He's uncaring. If he cared, he'd stop this. If he cared, he'd help me. If he cared, he'd at least take one of these things off my plate. Or, whew, maybe he's just not strong enough. Maybe this is beyond his ability. Maybe this is beyond his scope. Maybe he's incompetent. I mean, they literally saw him sleeping in the back of the boat. He was asleep on the job. But here's what they didn't get. And they couldn't until the storm was over. And here's what I don't get. And here's what maybe you don't get, and maybe you can relate to this, and maybe this will help settle your soul like it has settled mine. because as I was studying this passage years ago and then again this week, and you know, it was just so clear to me, Jesus wasn't asleep because he was uncaring. And Jesus wasn't asleep because he was incompetent. Jesus was asleep because he was in control. The waves and the wind report to him. So he wasn't nervous. He wasn't panicked. In fact, he knew exactly what he was going to do. And in a lot of ways, the disciples did exactly what they should have done. They took their panic, they took their despair to Jesus. It's a gutsy move. More courageous than me. What I typically do when I get mad at God is I don't talk to God about it. Because I don't think he'd be too happy with that. But see, I think that's part of the point of the story. They screamed at him. They doubted him. They said, "Don't you care?" And he woke up and he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. He did not rebuke them. He didn't even correct them. He didn't say, hey, don't talk to me that way. Hey, you better remember who I am. That's not what he said. No, because he heard the fear in their hearts. Wait a minute, do you really not love us? Because we thought you did. Hey, wait a minute, are you really not powerful enough? Because we certainly thought you were. And that's why he stood up and said, "Silence, be still," and it stopped. And he turns to them and he says, "Hey, guys." The paraphrase version is, "Do you still not get me?" And then they did. And they asked a question that I'm telling you is changing my life. And if we can just simply learn to be as vulnerable as the disciples and ask this question when we find ourselves in storms, because I'm telling you, it can change everything. Because he calms the wind. He says, "You still don't have faith. You still don't understand me." And here's what they began asking. They said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him." And I love that question because it's the better question. What I ask and you ask in storms is we ask, "Where is Jesus? Where is he?" And what we really mean is, why isn't he doing what I want him to do in this moment? We're looking for evidence that he is performing how we want him to perform. My situation hasn't gotten better. Where is Jesus? This is actually getting worse. Where is Jesus? Three things just fell through today. Where is Jesus? Where are you? Because what we mean is, why aren't you doing what I wanted you to do? Why aren't you performing like I needed you to perform? Why aren't you performing the way you performed in other people's lives? I've read the stories. I know what you did before. Why aren't you doing it for me? Where are you? And what we don't realize is we are asking that question because his performance is not in line with our preferences. And here's the thing. We are not equipped to evaluate God's performance. Because in order to evaluate someone's performance, you have to begin with their perspective. It's the only way. And we don't have God's perspective. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more mighty, he's more powerful, he knows the future. We don't have that. We will never know exactly what he is up to. And he doesn't want us to. That's why he said, "Why do you fear? Do you still have no faith?" Oh, what he's saying is, you don't know me well enough yet. You don't trust me enough yet. And I think he's guiding us to a better question to ask when things don't go our way. Rather than focusing on where is Jesus, a question we'll never be able to answer because we don't know what he's doing. We don't know what he's up to. We don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. We don't know what he's going to do next week. We don't know what he's preparing us to do in years from now. We have no idea. We'll never be able to answer the where question. But if we follow the example of the disciples, we can ask a much simpler question. And we can get much clearer answers, regardless of the storm. Instead of asking, where is Jesus, what if we began to ask, who is Jesus? I'm in this storm. The situation is happening. Who is Jesus? Oh, Jesus is the God of the universe. Jesus is the man who loved me so much, he sacrificed his life for me. And he is the man that was so powerful, he came back to life. And he wants to be my leader and my good shepherd every day of my life. And so rather than looking for him and evaluating his performance, I have permission, regardless of the wind, regardless of the waves, regardless of what is happening, to cling tight to my Savior and say, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. Not because of what I've seen you do, but because of who you are. You were my king yesterday. I believe you'll be my king tomorrow. So today, in this storm, I trust you. I don't understand it, and I wish you'd stop it. But I know who you are. And you're someone I can trust. And see, I think that question is important because I think it teaches us why we're allowed to go through storms. Why we're allowed to go through struggles and tough things. Why we just don't have a perfect life. It's this. It's because storms are where we learn to value Jesus' presence more than his performance. It's easy to fall in love with someone who lays down their life for you. It's easy to fall in love with someone who will forgive you and someone who will guide you. It's easy to fall in love with that person because of what he does. But what the disciples needed was a faith secure enough to withstand the storm. And it's what I needed. And it's what we all need. Because we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world with pain and sin and evil and death. And as Christ followers, we are promised a perfect eternity in the future. But right now, there will be storms. There will be struggles. And so we need a faith that moves past performance and that can rest in his presence. And here's what that means for me. Looking back on that time in 2021, I am so grateful for it. And that's hard to say. Because less than a month after that moment, my father had passed away. And I miss him. And I trust Jesus more. Because he was there for me. As David talks about, he was my rock. Was my fortress. And I can say, maybe for the first time in my life, like I've been a Christian this whole time, he is without a doubt my best friend. I talk to him about everything. I have a deeper, richer relationship with him now than I ever had before. And it came through a storm. I had to move past the performance because it wasn't going the way I wanted. But I learned to trust his presence. I learned to get quiet with him. I learned to spend time with him. And listen to me, that's when I began to experience what scripture talks about when it calls it the peace that passes understanding. Of course, the disciples felt peaceful. He calmed the storm. But what he promises me and you is not simply peace after the storm, peace in the storm. And that is not a peace that can be wrapped around performance. It's a peace that is only found in his presence, in a relationship with him. And so if you are in the middle of a storm today, I want to point out one thing. The disciples didn't learn the lesson, as I said, until the storm was calmed. So the last thing I'm telling you today, if you're in the middle of a storm, is just pray harder. But I am telling you, you need the presence of Jesus in your life. And so if that means personally, you need to spend some time with him, you need to pray, you need to read your Bible, great. But you know what it also means? You are in a place that is filled with his presence. That's why God created the church. We are literally his hands and his feet. So maybe what you need in the middle of this storm is to be surrounded by other people who can bring his presence to you. Maybe you see somebody you can tell your story to. Maybe you need some encouragement from someone who's a little further down the road. It's a great thing about a church like ours. There's no storm you're going through, but you don't have someone who's on the other side of it. And we want to be that place where you can come and be real and say, I am struggling today. And you will be surrounded by people who are like, been there, done that. I wrote that. I wrote an email about it. I got a novel in the works. I'm tell you all about what that feels like. I know for some of you, when I tell you about my bad day, you're like, that's nothing, dog. Let me tell you about my year. I hear you. I get it. Jesus' presence is what's going to provide that peace and hope you're looking for. His presence personally and his presence corporately. It's why we gather. It's why we sing. I know for some of you, just coming and singing for 20 minutes, it fills your tank more than anything else we do, and that's the point. To be filled and sustained by the presence of Jesus and his Holy Spirit, because that gives us the ability to withstand any storm. And the cool thing is, when we're done, we remember and we can share and we can pass on our stories. In fact, if you're here today and you say, hey man, I've got a story, I came through a storm, we want to know. That's why we ask you to share your stories with us. We want to know what God's doing in your life, so that, two reasons. One, we want to brag on God. And two, it helps us know, when we know your story and we meet someone who's at the beginning of your story, it's easier to connect you and say, hey, you should meet them and talk, because they've been where you are. You want to feel the presence of Jesus in your life? Tell your story to someone on the other side who's like, oh yeah, Jesus walked with me every step of the way. I can tell you how to do it. That's why we have community. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. So that we can become men and women healthy, whole, and filled with the Spirit. So my prayer for you today, and we're done. As you reflect on previous storms, as you prepare for future storms, or maybe if you're in one right now, the question to focus on is, who is Jesus? And my prayer is, as you ask that question, you'll discover he's someone I can trust, because he's never failed and he never will. And he's ready to comfort you, to guide you, and in his time to bring you out. It's up to us. The disciples had the guts to go to Jesus. That we will too. Not because of what he does, but because of who he is. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, for your son. We thank you for his wisdom and his guidance and his power. We thank you that he's with us and for us in every storm. We thank you that he sustains us, that he's at work when we don't know it. He's got plans we don't understand. But we know you can be trusted. And we pray that that moves from our heads to our hearts. Let me learn to trust you more as we follow your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.